Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21, Revelation 21. I've been drawn to this in my mind. I can't help but get, I can't get heaven off my mind, and I don't want to get heaven off my mind, but I want you to be thinking about it this morning too. Seems like so much tragedy and things happened in recent days, and I mentioned that just in the prayer request, talking about Grant Conger passing away. You mentioned Ramona Stanford passing away. And I'm just reminded, folks, that we, none of us has a guarantee of whether we'll be here tomorrow or not. By the way, David said they got started and going, so you don't have to worry about them, but we'll keep praying for them. But again, we're glad they're on the road again, and hopefully we can continue that way. But as we travel toward heaven, the Bible teaches us many things, but it tells us basically that we're just pilgrims and strangers. We're just passing through. This is not my home. Heaven is my home, and I look forward one day to being there with the Lord Jesus Christ. I would venture to say today there's nobody in here. If I said you want to go to heaven today, I don't think anybody would probably stand and say I want to go. The reason for that is not because of the greatness of heaven, but because of your family, your loved ones, and the fact that we love them and want to be with them as long as we possibly can. However, I think everybody that's here today would say when it comes to the end of their life that they want to be sure that they go to heaven. And there's only two places you can go, heaven and hell. A lot of preachers don't want to talk about the other place, but I tell you today, there's more said in the Bible about hell than there is heaven. And so today, I want to talk about heaven and share some things with you. As we travel along in this life, we're troubled on many sides. We're hindered. We're our progress is hindered. Such things as depravity, death, disease, discouragement, depression. And a man that we know as the devil, which the Bible tells us, we resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But all of that brings about the fact, and I want to talk to you today for a little bit. Normally we always talk about what's in heaven, but today I want to talk about what won't be in heaven. And those are good things that won't be in heaven. That's why heaven's so sweet, because they're not there. And that's where I want to go this morning. But if you have your Bibles, let's begin by reading passage of Scripture, verse number 20, chapter number 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Everybody's favorite verse, we love it. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be, and here's the no mores I'm going to be talking about. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now I want you to listen to verse 8. This will be the last verse I read. But I want you to see when I begin reading, the second thing that it refers to is the unbelieving. Let me say today that there's nothing will keep you from going to heaven except unbelief. And so today, I want to look at this and share some things with you, but listen what it said. And I believe it could be read, putting unbelieving behind every word. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I've heard people say, well, the Bible says right there, if we're abominable or if we're fearful, if we're murderers, we're whoremongers, sorcerers, adulterers, we can't go to heaven. Well, you can't go in the condition you're in, but if you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on him, and that's why the word unbelieving could go behind every one of those. I believe that that's what he intended there, to understand the truth that is set before us. But let's bow and ask God to bless the word today. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. And again, Lord, we do thank you for all your goodness and blessings to us. And I ask now that you would have your will and way today in this service. I pray that your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And Lord, thank you that there is a place called heaven. Lord, thank you that you prepared and made a way for us to go to heaven. And I pray today that there's nobody in this building that's not going to heaven. And if they don't know where they're going, Lord, I pray they'd get it settled today and know for sure that they will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. When it comes to the end of our life, basically, we leave this life. You know, we really never die. Now, the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. We understand that. But spiritually, if you're saved by the grace of God, and basically, even if you're not saved, we all have eternal life. You know, you stop and think about it. Now, I'm not trying to say everybody has eternal life to go to heaven, but some people have eternal life in a place called hell. But the fact is, life does not end when I draw my last breath on this earth. I think of people that the Bible said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. At the cemetery the other day, the preacher said this. He said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And if you're saved and you pass, it is precious in the sight of the Lord because he's taking you home to be with him. I know that we live in a day and age where people are defeated and discouraged and much disillusioned by all the things going on around about us. But I want to tell you today, God is still on the throne. He's still able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think if we'll put our faith and trust in him. The Bible assures us that life will be different from this life. We're not going to just another American. By the way, I want to say I'm glad to be an American. I'm glad to live here. I believe the greatest country in the world, and I'm thankful for that. But notice in verse number 4, the phrase that is there, the words passed away. That word literally means to follow no longer. These things are going to be ended. There's some things I like to see come to an end sometime. And these are some of the things that I'd like to see come to the end one day that is quoted in verse number 4. But I want to draw your attention there to when we look at it to understand when we arrive in heaven, the glorious beauty and joy of being in heaven and being with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be great and wonderful. But it's not going to be anything like this life down here. And we're going to live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever when we arrive home. Oftentimes I preach funerals and I use the text of scripture, but also I say this, safely home. A child of God that dies is safely home. I believe Miss Ramona is safely home. I believe Grant Conger this week is safely home. And I'm glad today to be able to know that and rejoice. Somebody said, you can't know that. I can't know it about you, but you can know it about yourself because it's the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. So just give me a few minutes this morning to share with you what's going to be missing. What's going to be missing in heaven? What's going to be missing in heaven? Well, according to verse number 4, the load will be missing. The load will be missing. This life is full of troubles and trials and tragedies. My, I tell you emotionally, as your pastor, I'm thankful today and I appreciate getting the calls when people are in the hospital and they ask for prayer and I want to do. But sometimes, even as I got the call last Sunday night, it can be overwhelming. It can be just something that's just heavy on your heart. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you know somebody close to you and they having a tragedy, we sing that song, The Family of God. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear. But we rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. But every day we hear accounts of all these things, discouragement, distress, death. Told somebody this morning, I believe in the last 3 years, I'm between 30 and 35 funerals that I preached. Friend, I'm telling you, I've never had that many funerals in all my life. And I have in all my life, if you stretch them out, in that short period of time. You said, well, what does that mean? I don't know. I really don't know. Young people are dying. People unexpectedly. Things are happening. We don't understand and know why they're happening. But I know this. It may be that we're living in the last days, which I believe we are. Some may disagree with that. I believe the Lord's coming back. He said he was, and I believe it could be at any time. But I believe the Lord may be just trying to get our attention. I believe he may be taking some of the choice servants out of this world so that they maybe don't have to go through some things that maybe they would have to go. I can't prophesy about that and say that to be the case. But the fact of it is, when a person that's a Christian dies, it's really release and relief. And I'm grateful today. I heard of a man this morning. They was operating on someone that I knew in the past. They was operating on the Carver family, if you would remember them. But he died on the operating table. Friend, I'm telling you, things are happening. But hey, it's not new. It should not come as a surprise because the Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die and after that judgment. We go on this journey. We bear the scars of the journey, scars in our mind, scars in our body, scars in our memories, and all the troubles of and trials of life. They're not going to be in heaven. Again, I want to just go through this and again remind you some of the things not in heaven in verse 4, and there shall be no more death. I tell you, I'll preach my last funeral down here, and I tell you, when I do, and the Lord takes me home, I won't be preaching no more funerals. I won't even be going to no more funerals. because there ain't going to be no more funerals. Everything's going to be wonderful for those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and go and are there with Him. He goes on to say there shall be no more sorrow. Can you imagine no sorrow? I tell you, we go through sorrow. We have physical pain. We have deaths. We have all kind of things around about us. But if we're a child of God, we know that He promises to meet our every need. He'll supply every need that we have in our life. And we need to understand that He's there to do that. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:53-56, for this corruptible, talking about when we go to heaven, when we die, this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I tell you today, if you're saved, you don't have nothing to be sad about. Today you may be having some trouble down here, but that's all right. One day it will pass and we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word sorrow there talks about grief of any kind. Maybe persecution, it may be failures in your life, maybe actions or things that come your way, but sorrow is not going to be in heaven. I tell you, crying is not going to be in heaven. I don't know how I'm going to make it up there because I cry all the time. I tell you, every time almost any time I got a funeral and these people in my church, I tell you, I hurt. And sometimes my voice will quiver, and I have to fight the tears back. But you know what? There won't be no needs of tears when I get to heaven. They're going to be all wiped away, and the Lord will take them away from me. And by the way, with a note of that, I've heard many a preacher say they used to cry, and they asked God to take them away, and they did. And they came back and begged Him to give them back, and He didn't. So I'm not asking the Lord to take them away down here, because I know He's going to take them away up there. No more crying. No more pain. Can you get that? I've got to keep moving. But that's labor, toil, or great struggle, troubles that we're going through. There'll be not only no more crying, but we can also say there are no more tears because He said they'll be wiped away. What a blessing it will be. Listen to 1 Peter 1:3-5. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to this abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus died on the cross for everybody. And we have that available to us if we put our faith and trust in it. I know you've heard the story. I'll be brief with it. But a pastor got a call one day from a lady. She had cancer. She called the pastor over and said, Pastor, I want you to come. I want to tell you what I want at my funeral. She went over there. He went through everything. And she told him all the songs to preach and everything she needed. And he said, one thing, I have a very special request. You've heard it. I know probably many of you have. She said, when I die, she said, I want you to bury me with a fork in my hand. The pastor was very troubled, and he looked at her, and he said, that's the first time I've ever got that request. What in the world would you want with a fork? And she said, when people walk by my casket, I want them to be reminded. She said, when I was growing up, my grandma always told me that keep my fork because the best was yet to come. She always said I had a pie or a piece of cake or something to keep your fork because the best is yet to come. And she said, I want people to walk by my casket and said, what is with the fork? And somebody say, the best is yet to come. I tell you what, today, what a joy it is. And I'm grateful today that was a great testimony. So this pastor went back and he told the people. And well, I told them at the funeral, actually. He explained the story and people was amazed by it. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, listen, it's going to be the best thing to ever happen to you in your life. I promise you, you may have some good things happen to you down here, but it's not going to be anything like that up there. Why? Because the load will be missing. Ain't going to be no more sorrow. Ain't going to be no more crying. Ain't going to be no more tears to wipe away. But here, I like this one. Jump with me down to 8, and it talks about some things here. But he said, the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, daughters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now that tells me that the devil ain't going to be there. You say, well, I didn't see that. Well, he said, all liars. And he's a liar, but God is the father of truth. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, he's not going to be there. Thank God he can't touch us. Down here we serve the Lord and we're faithful to Him, and He'll do everything He can to cause us problems. He'll get on our back and he'll do everything he can to defeat us. The devil causes the saints of God much grief, but in heaven, he's not going to be there. Down here, he's the accuser of the brethren, according to Revelation 12:10. He's our adversary, according to 1 Peter 5:8. He's considered the devil, which is a slanderer in Matthew 4:11. He's called a murderer in John 8:44. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the God of this world. Now, it doesn't mean big God, it's with a little g, but it means he does have power in this world to destroy us and defeat us. He calls him the tempter in Matthew 4, the ruler of darkness in Ephesians 6. He's called the serpent in Genesis 3. And then lastly, he's called the wicked one. The good news, won't be no accuser in heaven. Won't no be adversary, devil, murderer, god of the world, tempter, ruler of darkness, serpent, or wicked one. He will not be there because he too will be cast into the lake of fire. Satan attacks us. He torments us, he accuses us, but he does not have the power to overtake us and overcome us, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I'm glad today, I think of heaven. Listen, he can't follow me to heaven. He may follow me tomorrow all day long, and he probably will. He'll probably follow you too. But I tell you, when I leave this earth, he's staying behind. We'll wave goodbye. I don't know if we wave goodbye to him or not. Really don't care about saying goodbye. Just glad to say good riddance, because no longer will he be able to defeat us in the way that we go and the things we do. And then I want you to see, thirdly, lust will be missing. Now, when I use this word, I want you to understand, anything that we desire after or desire in our life, notice what it said and why this will happen. Look at verse number 2 of our text. He said, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And so here we find that we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Well, what happened when we got saved? We become a new creature. The Bible said, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, we still live in a sinful world, and we still have difficulties and problems along the way. But I tell you what, when we get to heaven, we're going to be in a new heaven and a new earth. And there's not going to be no room for any of that other stuff that I talked about. It's not going to be there. Thank God for that. We find also, if we could go a little further in verses 9 through 11, look with me there. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride and the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending down out of heaven from God." Listen, "having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." You know what he says? The city of God is the New Jerusalem. Verses 9 through 11 tells us that the city is the bride of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? The Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He's the bridegroom, and we are the bride of Christ, all of those who are saved by the grace of God. And the Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians 11:2, and also in verses 9 to 11 we just read. But this passage represents the bride of Jesus as a glorious, spotless, and sinless bride in this life. What he comes for tells the people of God will be changed one day. And we're all going to be changed. I'm glad today the vile flesh will drop away, and there'll be no more appetite. There'll be no more ability to sin. We get to heaven. No such thing as sin. No such thing as evil, anything there. Everyone in this room has trouble in the flesh. If you don't, I'd like to talk to you. But I tell you, this was the experience of Paul. Even Paul, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, had heartache along the way. He had to, you know, sometimes people had to drag their flesh to church. In fact, some of you may have had to drag your flesh to church this morning. It might not have wanted to come. You might have rather slept a little longer. How many of you had thoughts today that are sinful? You see, I'm not going to get up here today and tell you we're perfect. I don't expect people to be perfect, because people can't be perfect. But thank God we've got a God in heaven that forgives us of our sin. How many have to force your flesh to read the Bible and pray? Well, that's the one, you know, that's hard to do. You know, got to take time, set aside. I got to read my Bible and pray. I wonder how many have sinned this week by some thought you had or some action you did. But let me tell you something. You know what the good part is? He said if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm so thankful today that he's a forgiven God. If we were only going to get to heaven because we's perfect, we'd be in trouble. But thank God today, we're not perfect people, but we're forgiven people. And on a daily basis, we seek His face and seek His will. When the Lord saved us, He saved us from the penalty of sin. Romans, book of Genesis describes to us exactly how sin came into the world. He created Adam and Eve. Eve took of the fruit. She got her husband to take of the fruit. They wanted to blame each other, but God knew what was going on. And because of that, the Bible said, wherefore it's by one man, Adam, sin entered in the world, death for sin. And so death passed upon all men. He said, for that, all have sinned. You see that we were saved. He saves us from the penalty of sin. We're born in this world sinners. The Bible said this, you either believe or you don't believe. He that believeth not, don't have to do anything. He that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But he also tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The penalty of sin is gone. He saved us from the power of sin. Friend, we have the power to resist sin and temptation. We're going to have it, I'll be honest with you, and we really have to fight it and fight the flesh. But the power greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And because we're filled with the Spirit of God, God has saved us and give us eternal life. And then we also have been saved from the presence of sin. Won't be realized as long as we live on this earth. Today we sin, but we don't have to, because 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us we don't have to. Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. According to the Bible, the saints of God will be changed. We cannot go to heaven like we are. One day, this body, we're going to receive a new body like unto his. What a blessing to be. Quickly, the load will be missing. Lucifer will be missing. Lust will be missing. But the lost will be missing. In verse 8, it describes them as only they can be described, the unbelieving. Friend, God does not choose anybody to go to hell. He sent his Son to die for the sins of the world. And tonight, if we go and reject him and refuse him, it's on us. Because Jesus loved the world. He said he wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in Jesus Christ. The world has this idea that everyone goes to heaven. That's not what the Word of God teaches. He tells us in these verses some of the people that will not go to heaven. But the key is not because of the abominable, of the murders, of the whoremongers, of the sorcerers, of the idolaters. None of that. It's the unbelieving part that they refuse and reject. Without faith, to those who are trusting God, they do not have the faith to believe upon him. He said in John 8:24, I said therefore to you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Your life does not need to end in hell. You can be saved today, according to verses 6 and 7. And it teaches us that if you can be saved, you can be saved if you want to be. Somebody said, how do I do that? Just quickly, recognize you're a lost sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all fallen short. He said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to understand that there's a terrible penalty attached to our sin. Realize that God loves you and that his Son Jesus died on the cross for you. In Romans 5:8. He said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then be willing to come before the Lord, confessing all this to him in Romans 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. I'll close with this. And I think about it. This president had been to Africa for 3 weeks, or there had been a Samuel Marson, a faithful missionary. Served 25 years in Africa. He was having failing health, and Marson returned to the United States. On the same boat that he was on, President Teddy Roosevelt was there. He had been in Africa for 3 weeks on a hunting expedition, and they were headed home. He was looking forward to being home and seeing family, but he had been gone so long, he didn't know what kind of reception he would get. As they got closer to the harbor, he heard the band playing. He saw the throngs of people there. And he thought, my, what a reception. And when it was all done and they got there, they began to play the music. And immediately everybody was to remain on board until the president, Teddy Roosevelt, came off the ship. And when he came off the ship, the missionary said in his heart, I've given my life. I've served my Lord all these years. There's no one here to meet me, but the president can go on a hunting expedition and the whole world will turn out to welcome him home. But then he said he felt a gentle tug from God and said, but son, you're not home yet. And friend, today we're not home yet. Thank God we're here today. We rejoice in what God is doing. You might be troubled with many trials today, but if you're saved, don't let the flesh and the devil get to you. If you need to come get saved, there's somebody here that can take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here today and you've been saved, you've never been baptized, today may be the day for that. Whatever it might be, church membership, whatever, if God speaks to your heart today, we invite you to come, because today there's going to be some things missing in heaven that's going to make it wonderful when we get there.